Let us pray. Holy God, help us to look for the living among the dead. Amen. This is a challenging Easter for me personally, for personal reasons. If you hadn't heard, my father-in-law died a couple of weeks ago, Jim Zimmer, unexpectedly and suddenly. And during that experience, while he was in the hospital struggling for his life about a month, we had a little bit of a hard time at the hospital that we were at with the security guards. And I know that they were good people just doing their job, but because of the circumstances, there was a little bit of tension. For example, the kids were not allowed to see their grandpa. They had to be 16, and there was no budging on that rule. Again, I know they didn't make the policy, but they were the ones that had to enforce it. So one Saturday, we went to go visit Jim, and because the kids couldn't get in, and we knew that they wouldn't be able to, even though we tried, they made signs of encouragement and stood outside of his window and, you know, held him up for him to see. And he really liked it. He really perked up. The nurses said, you know, family is huge for helping someone to get healthy, and especially grandchildren if someone's feeling discouraged. So that's why we did it, to raise his spirits and to help him try to fight his illness. And it worked. They were outside holding up the signs, and he sat up in bed, and, you know, they were talking and singing through the window, but you couldn't hear and you couldn't open the window. And so it carried on for a few minutes. They were singing, they were dancing, pantomiming, and it was working. And then the security guards showed up and shooshed them out of there. They said, get out of here. You can't be here. You're making too much noise. This is a healing environment. They couldn't even hear him through the windows. Then there was, you know, there's the rules that only so many people can be in the room at a time, which again, the policy is set up on high, and then the guards are asked to enforce it. Well, that's hard when you have a big family, when there's four siblings, lots of grandkids. So we got in trouble on that front as well. So after a few weeks went by, you know, our family was like watched because we were the troublemakers. And so my in-laws started telling me, hey, when you come to visit Papa, you got to wear your pastor's shirt, you know. That way you can get in past the guards. And they were very, very deferential to clergy. It worked. If I had my collar in, they would wave me right through. And then they figured out that I wasn't just Jim's pastor, I was his son-in-law. So it was like, wait a second, what's going on? And so one of the nights, it was getting late, and I was just chit-chatting with one of the security guards, and he was asking me about the church and God, and he said, he folded his arms, and he said, you know what? I'm an agnostic. Yeah. I'm an agnostic because I don't believe in God. No, I don't believe in God, but I can't prove it. So I'm not an atheist, but I am an agnostic. And I said, oh. And he looked angry. And I said, did you have a bad experience at church? And he said, oh, yeah. I was forced to church my whole life, and I never wanted to go. So, yes, I've had a bad experience. And I said, well, what if I could prove to you that God exists? And he said, I doubt it, but what do you got? And I said, well, it's on my phone. I'm going to show you something on my phone, and I'll prove to you that God exists. And he said, okay, go ahead. So I got out my phone. I opened up the camera app, and I set it to selfie, right? So right now I'm looking at myself. You see, you're looking at yourself. And I handed him my phone, and I said, take a look. And he looked and he saw himself, and his frown turned to a smile, and he laughed, and he handed me back my phone, and he said, "That's pretty good." He said, "I'll say this. God's creation is wonderful." He just said it just like that. A second before, agnostic. 2 seconds later, "God's creation is wonderful." And he had seen himself. So I'm pretty awesome as a pastor. Yeah. But how do we make sense of the resurrection? We were studying this at our Wednesday night Vespers a couple weeks ago. And as we talked about it, I asked that question that every once in a while, you know, comes up in the news, like, "We found the bones of Jesus." It says right here, Jesus, and there's a box. It has to be his. And I said, what if it really happened and it was proven? And, you know, no one, at least for those of us who were gathered that Wednesday night, no one really, it wouldn't really make that much of a difference. People kind of said, you know what? Not really. Because we have faith. And it might actually be easier. Because the strange thing about Easter is that we don't think it was his spirit that came out of his body. We think his body actually came back to life. He was resuscitated with a new spiritual life, bodily. And if we found the bones of Jesus, it might actually be easier because it would make more sense to us. When we think about death, we usually think about the body dying. It's like a vessel, and the soul comes out and goes to heaven. And that is really at odds with the Easter message. The Easter message is that our body comes back to life. It would seem like an unscientific claim. And then in our story this morning, what about these women? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Isn't it suspicious that they were the first ones to the tomb and the body miraculously wasn't there? Could they have maybe moved the body? Could they have made stuff up? And by the way, why is it always the women who are causing problems? Why were they there in the first place? Why can't they let it go? Think about the men, right? The men had moved on already. They were like, "We get it. We get it. Jesus was loving and powerful, but he couldn't stand up to the Romans. Peter's ready to go back to fishing. Andrew's ready to go back to collecting taxes." The men are ready to move on, to accept it, but the women can't leave well enough alone. Just like at the hospital. It wasn't the guys getting in trouble. It was the women getting us in trouble with the security guards. Didn't they know in the Bible that the Roman centurions would be there guarding the tomb? Why did they have to complain? Why do they have to make a fuss? Maybe that's the point. Maybe we have something to learn from the women. Maybe we shouldn't just accept it and move along. Maybe we shouldn't just adjust. Maybe we ought to make a fuss. Maybe we ought to take better care of the dead. Have you seen how other cultures care for their dead? They wrap them in sheets. They wash them. They bless them. They bury them in the earth with such care. Maybe we should spend more time praying for the dead, visiting the dead, remembering them and caring for them. Maybe the women had it right all along. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, possibly the mother of Jesus. They witnessed the resurrection before all the men because they refused to go silently. They persisted. Death couldn't keep them down. They refused to accept it. It was unjust. It was unfair. And they went back to that tomb because they were angry and ready to make a fuss. They were defying death. And maybe we need to defy death as well. We're not going to go away quietly. We are going to raise heaven. We're going to love the dead. You know, the angels say to the women, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And you know, for most of my life, I took that as a negative, right? Like they're basically saying, you shouldn't be here. Don't do this. But what if that's not the case at all? What if the angel was actually affirming them and surprised that it was them? And the angel was saying, it's you. Why are you the ones who are looking for the living among the dead? Or even if they were questioning, the angels aren't perfect. Only God is perfect. They could say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And they could say, just in case. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Have you ever had a compost pile? That's where the richest life comes from. We should look for the living among the dead. That's what faith is all about. We don't give up. God's love will animate every cell of our body. God's love will revive and give new life to our loved ones for all of eternity. God's love will heal every wound and bring us back together. God's love will resurrect us until there is light shining from every fiber of our being. Amen. Please stand as you're able.
Now all the